Good morning and happy Monday, everyone. This is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I am your host, Justin Williams. It feels like I haven't been in the seat in a while, so I'm kind of happy to be back. It was just Mother's Day yesterday, and so special shout out to all the moms out there, and the mothers-in-law, and the stepmoms, and the grandmoms, and all the moms. We literally wouldn't be here without you. And special shout out to my mom. I literally owe my life to you because you gave me life. So I'll pay you back someday, just not today because I'm tired. I am very, very excited to be here. As you can tell, my voice is like a little bit shot. A week ago, we were supposed to do this show. I got sick. I was like, yeah, I can't do this show. I literally have no voice. And so it is a live show. Everyone listening and tuning in, thank you for tuning in and just kind of like bear with me. I know I kind of sound like, if you guys have ever seen the movie Selena from 1997, starring Jennifer Lopez, remember the flashback scene at the very beginning when she was just a kid talking to her dad? That's what I sound like. My voice is going to constantly crack. And so, you know, just continue to bear with me. And today, we're going to be talking about something a little serious and extremely important as far as it pertains to the last frontier, and that's youth homelessness. And the two people that I have to speak on this with me are experts in the field, have really personal experiences with youth homelessness in particular. And I feel like it's a very important topic that we do need to talk about and discuss and attempt to tackle real quick. So I'd like to introduce our guest, Zarina Lealai. Did I say her last name right?
No.
Of course I did.
Not at all.
How do I pronounce your last name?
It's Lealai.
Lealai. Okay, so I was close.
Yeah.
I've known you for 2 years, and I just figured out what your last name is. So thank you for letting me know that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Why don't you introduce yourself? Give us a little biography about who you are and the people that you work for.
I'm Zarina Lealai, but I'm known in the community as Z for a long time. Came to Alaska in 2015, been here ever since, and I feel like Anchorage has grown on me a lot. I'm originally from Honolulu, Hawaii, so these are like two different places, two different planets. And the people I work for, or I work with, is the Anchorage Youth Task Force, and we've been in place since like November 2017, because that's when I actually roughly joined. But I feel like I believe they were like here a year before. But we've been doing work in the community for a really long time pertaining to youth homelessness. One of our spotlight like things we've done in the community is we took like a HUD funding HUD funding back in 2020, and we created multiple programs that Covenant House Alaska models and still carries out today, which is like permanency navigation, rapid rehousing, and all of those fun stuff to be able to support youth at where they're at in their journey as far as being experiencing youth homelessness or at risk of youth homelessness. So, but we're all a bunch of youth from the age of like 18 to 24 coming together with one goal, which is to support youth voice and their rights pretty much in the community. And we've always started with Anchorage first. And then we've now realized like our model has been carried out nationally. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty excited. A lot of us are still doing community work like myself. But other than that, yeah, I think we're a pretty awesome team and we support pretty awesome youth in the community. Of all walks of life. So
definitely. And the organization is definitely necessary here in Alaska.
Yes.
So without a shadow of a doubt, man, like I know these positions can definitely be a thankless kind of job, but we really appreciate the work that you do. I appreciate the work that you do. So thank you for joining us here on the show. And I want to introduce Julia. identifying their pronouns are they, them. I know a little bit. You sent me a little bit of a blurb. You grew up on Yupik and Laura Tanana Dene land. Did I say that right?
Pretty close. Tanana Dene.
Dene, okay. You have a GED. You hold a GED and a master's of social work. You are queer, poor, white, anti-racist, polyamorous, relationship anarchist, mother who is family to transgender, queer, and lesbian people. You are currently the co-director of programming for Anchorage Matsu and statewide at the volunteer collective Choosing Our Roots. You yes. have an awesome and amazing resume, Julia. How long,
for real.
Yeah, seriously. How long have you been with Choosing Our Roots?
Wow, that's a great question. So first, thanks so much for having me on here today. And I'm really honored that Z thought of me as one of the people that she'd like to have on this podcast, talking about the work that we've been doing together for the past few years. Choosing Our Roots is a relatively new volunteer grassroots collective. And probably about 7 years ago is when we first started gathering together as community members, predominantly young people under 25 who were currently experiencing homelessness, as well as many of us, myself included, older people who had experienced housing instability when we were young, and who care about making sure that the needs of LGBTQ plus young people are being met from our housing service agencies around the state. Choosing Our Roots became a 501c3, I think, and nobody quote me on this, even though it's on the radio. about 4 years ago, we hired our first paid staff person, myself, 3 years ago. And so I've been in the conversations from the beginning as a founding member of Choosing Our Roots, really trying to follow the lead of young people in our community, telling us what they need and want, and then trying to make sure that that comes to be. I think one of the cool things that we do in our circles a lot of the time is say, like, what's the most important radical liberation themed idea that you have that everybody else is going to say is ridiculous, and then let's make it happen. So really grateful to be in community with all of the people that make up Choosing Our Roots. And we've got folks all over the state participating and a lot of young people serving in leadership roles. And I'm glad to be here with you all today, too. Yeah. I think I already said that, but I'm so happy about it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm happy that you've decided to spend your Monday morning with us, too. So thank you so much, Julia. Thank you so much for the work that you do. You know, doing a little bit of research on Choosing Our Roots, I know that the organization has a specific focus on serving LGBTQ plus youth and young adults, which here in the state of Alaska is also extremely it's invaluable, you know, and we definitely need that here. And so before we pop into the questions and kind of dive into this conversation of youth homelessness, which is a very important conversation to have, I do want to remind everyone listening, this is a live show. And if you have, you know, any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call. If you're in Anchorage, you know, hit us up at 907-550-8433, statewide at 1-888-353-5752, or feel free to shoot us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to hit us up at any time during the show. So, you know, we talk about, and by we, I just mean, like, I guess, you know, sheltered middle-class citizens, I suppose. We talk about homelessness. I noticed in a very particular way, you know, on one hand, we really only notice and point out and discuss, usually in a negative matter, adult homelessness. We don't really tend to think about children who end up getting separated because certain shelters won't accept this person or that person or this boy or this girl, or we don't know what really happens on the streets. A lot of the time, those of us have experienced being on the streets and just thriving, and or not thriving, I should say, surviving, trying to survive or find shelter, right? And then the other part of that conversation too is, we don't see a lot of youth, right? We go downtown, drive downtown or drive some certain place, and you know, we'll drive by someone that we would perceive as homeless, and they're adults, and they're usually by themselves. And that made me think, that made me wonder if youth who are homeless, are they being tracked or documented, or are they getting off the streets, right? I couldn't come up with a conclusion on my own. And so when I was kind of doing the research about that, I found that LGBTQ youth are more than double at risk to experience homelessness. Hispanic youth are 33% at a higher risk of experiencing homelessness. Black youth are 88% higher risk at experiencing homelessness. And so I wanted to direct this question to Julia. What conditions primarily contribute to youth homelessness in Alaska?
No, that's a great question. And I think that I can speak really broadly here, though I want to remind everybody that every person's experience is individual and unique. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about the variety of factors that might be at play for young people experiencing homelessness or housing instability, we want to remember to show up for the young person that's in front of us and listen to their story and hold space for their story. Mm. And I'm going to add into your statistics that, you know, in Alaska, we are still working on building up our data when it comes to young people experiencing homelessness. We only recently, like in the past few years, started collecting sexual orientation and gender identity information from young people. And so I think that we're seeing astounding numbers as we get better data.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear Z's thoughts on some of these things. I'm going to throw out the things that I think contribute to youth homelessness throughout the state. And those include things like overcrowding, poor access to housing in general, physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. We live in a state that has very high incidence of traumatic events experienced by all of the members of our population. Mm-hmm. And that filters down to what our young people are experiencing. Financial and emotional neglect, and that is not necessarily always by choice. I think that we have some huge separations economically in this state, and there are a lot of people struggling right on the edge of poverty all of the time. And again, that trickles down to the experiences of our young people. We've got a lot of young people that age out of the foster care system without adequate resources to stabilize their housing in an ongoing way. And then for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, pansexual plus young people, a lot of times the experiences that they bring to the forefront include family rejection resulting from that person coming out, whether it's about their sexual orientation or their gender identity. Mm-hmm. Or one of the things that I think is really striking is that many of our young people move towards homelessness because of a gradual increase in conflict in the home over a period of time, and a growing sense of rejection in the home. And I would say that it's not just in the home, it's in our communities, because wherever we are in this world, we are constantly immersed in transphobia, homophobia, racism, the social toxins that create barriers for all of the people in our communities. Mm. And young people especially struggle with that because there aren't a lot of resources that are directed towards young people. That was a lot of words. I'm wondering, Z, do you think that I covered some of the primary things that cause youth homelessness?
Yeah. I was like thinking of some, but then you kept going over it. I was like, okay, that's why I chose you.
Definitely. No, I think that was a excuse me, a really good way of describing exactly some of the things that we don't see, right? Or some of the things that we don't really assume, because there is such a huge stigma about on homelessness, right? Especially when we don't know the data, especially when we don't know the statistics or don't really do the research. And I think we do that because when we can categorize someone or categorize a group or give ourselves an explanation about how someone else that we don't know ended up in a position where they're at that we would consider beneath us, we feel safer, we feel more comfortable, we feel more secure, and we tend to actually feel better about ourselves, right? More successful. When you talk about societal toxins, I think that's a very accurate way to describe the barriers that we do have that not only disable us from seeing the personhood beneath the homelessness, beneath seeing whatever it is that we drive by, you know, on the streets. But it also disables us from empathy and wanting to actually do something to help and to provide shelter. And, you know, I was talking to a friend last week. We were getting coffee and we were talking about, you know, both adult homelessness and how that trickles down to youth homelessness. And, you know, we were talking about, and she's a caseworker. And so she was kind of telling me her experience and things like that. And she was telling me, you know, a lot of these people, when they get sheltered, they get out of the shelter. One, because they may not want to be sheltered, but two, because they don't know how to be sheltered. A lot of policies in Anchorage are kind of focused on just, you know, thrashing and removing homeless camps and kind of stuffing people into shelters that they don't necessarily want to be in, and then just calling it good. You know, we did a good job. Let's go home and go to bed to our homes, right? But we're not actually teaching them how to build a sense of community or self-worth, or teaching them how to be sheltered, so they may not want to stay there. Z, do you have any thoughts on that? Like, is it just, do you think that there is an extreme lack of empathy in the people that we are supposed to be trusting to come up with solutions for youth homelessness in particular?
Yeah, I think the main problem is we keep hiring, or we keep putting, and I say we because it's a collective and it's a community thing.
Right.
We keep putting old white cis men in those chairs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the first problem we need to address.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, we do not see any representation of people of color or any queer folks in those chairs to make those big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one problem I'm always talk to death, because once we actually put like people with those experience in those chairs, they will always make decisions and solutions out of such a small lens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because youth homelessness and adult homelessness, it's a complex experience and it's a complex thing to solve. And I don't necessarily believe that youth homelessness has not been like, have never been a conversation. I believe it has.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of the adult homeless that we see right now, they've been homeless since youth. A lot of them have been homeless since youth or experienced some kind of, you know what I mean, homelessness, because it doesn't have to be consistent. Like you know what I mean? I've been on the streets. It could be bouncing around in houses,
right,
on couches, you know what I mean? All these different situations. So if we look at adult homelessness, that's why I keep telling people we should also focus on youth homelessness, because a lot of it starts with the home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the trauma is that adults' baggage when they're experiencing homelessness literally comes from them being youth. It comes from sometimes, or most likely, their childhood and growing up, and then the lack of resources that Julia has mentioned, because there mm-hmm. is still a lack of resource, because there's people in power who don't put much emphasis on not just like sheltering people, but also creating resources to follow up, right? Because I think that's a big thing we talk about when we're supporting youth, is not being there to just show up, but also realizing that these are people's lives that, mm-hmm. you know, you're willing to support and integrate on the daily, on getting the tools that they need to be successful. And a lot of it is consistency and follow-up with those youth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, And I feel like personally, because I've gone through youth homelessness, that was one of the key things that I wanted, was a support system that just didn't show up, but also follow through and make sure that I'm okay and set things at my pace. And I feel like with a lot of things that are going on in the community, we kind of don't, again, like you mentioned, we kind of take out the empathy of seeing the, putting our own lens on an experience and not recognizing that those are people too, mm-hmm. you know? We are not, I feel like I'm speaking for a lot of people who experience homelessness, like we are not like some strange creature that popped out of nowhere. Nobody wakes up and says, oh, I'm gonna be homeless. Mm. You know, there's always a reason, there's always a root. And a lot of those roots did come from lack of resources, lack of empathy, lack of love in the household that just grew into, you know what I mean? Into choices where it's like, I rather just be on the streets. Mm. Some of them rather just be on the streets.
Right.
And who am I to tell them, you know, like you deserve housing. Their housing could be a tent in a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a field, that's their housing. But when we recognize these things, we need to, like Julia said, we need to sit down and take them for who they are at that moment. Mm-hmm. Because we can't put that one story and make it like a generalization of everybody in that demographic. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. But,
so yeah, there's only two problems. Is one, the people who are making the decisions, I feel like they shouldn't be there. And I feel like that's always been, mm-hmm. yeah, that's just me. But I feel like that's always been a community conversation of who should be in those chairs to make those big decisions. Mm-hmm. And two, lack of resources. And three, lack of like understanding to hire people, especially youth. I feel like we don't talk about that as much. It's like we don't hire people with lived in experiences or youth with lived experiences to do the work. Because who else can do the work than the person who goes through it? You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah.
That's just like a golden and fruitful resource that you can put at your table by getting somebody who definitely knows how the experience goes. And like, because they will be able to tell you what has been lacking or what needs improvement. But yeah, I think I covered what, yeah.
No, without a shadow of a doubt. Thank you for answering that question. And thank you for, you know, being transparent about your, you know, first person account with youth homelessness. I think it's a very, very important thing to acknowledge and recognize that a lot of the people trying to solve the problem aren't really familiar with the problem, because it's not a problem that necessarily has ever pertained to them or their parents or their kids, right? And so a lot of the time, I think you're absolutely right. It's really hard when you have 100 chairs and all those hundreds of chairs are filled up only with people who, you know, because of their life experience, automatically all have like this barrier between seeing the problem or the people who are in this problem, this epidemic, whatever you want to call it. And they're not able to really do much because there's no empathy there. You know what I mean? And I think that's a good place to kind of start for a whole lot of people who really think they're outside of the problem and therefore do not need to contribute to a solution. But especially for the people that are being hired to provide solutions, that's even, you know, that's 20 times more paramount and extremely, extremely important. And so for everybody listening, this is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Justin Williams, with your guests, Julia Terry and Zarina Leali. We're going to go on a short break. Feel free to give us a call if you're in Anchorage, 907-550-8433, statewide, 1-888-353-5752, or feel free to shoot us a wonderful email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. Everybody, welcome back. Now, if you're just now tuning in, I'm your host, Justin Williams, and we are discussing youth homelessness with our guests, Serena Leali and Julia Terry. And, you know, for anybody listening, have you experienced homelessness in your youth, or are you a youth that, you know, has previously experienced homelessness, is undergoing that? Do you know someone young experiencing homelessness? And if so, what resources would you or have you referred to them? I'd love to hear your conversations. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments and your life experience. So feel free to give us a call. And now if you're in Anchorage, hit us up at 907-550-8433, statewide at 1-888-353-5752, or feel free to give us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Serena and Julia, thank you so much for joining me this lovely Monday morning. And I'm really, really excited and fired up about the conversation that we're having and your guys' experience in, you know, being a part of the solution for this, because this is a very sensitive topic. And we were just kind of discussing how the people who really are supposed to be, you know, advocating for youth homelessness, a lot of them aren't really where they need to be, I think, as far as, you know, really digging into the resources or really digging into the empathy that they need to see someone else as an actual human being, the person that they're supposed to help. I worked with the state for 2 years back in the day, and, you know, a big thing that I saw there was this struggle to see the client as anything more than just the client. They were just the client. They're just a voice on the other end of a phone call, right? And it was that sort of empathy that kept, or that lack of empathy that kept a lot of cases open instead of closing cases, instead of reuniting certain families, right? And so I hate to think that when we are in a position of power, of any sort of real power to make a change, that we only have one foot in the door and we keep the other foot out because of our biases, because of our comfort, because of our lack of experience and our unwillingness to just sit down and facilitate conversations with real people who need real sources and have real questions that need to be answered. And so, you know, Z, you touched a little bit on your firsthand experience with youth homelessness. And I want to be respectful and sensitive to you as my friend, as well as your personal experience. But is there anything that you wanted to share about that time, that now that you're out of it and advocating for people that were in your previous position, that you see, that you particular have experienced that, wow, I wish someone had done fill in the blank for me, advocated for me, in a very particular way, in a way that you're doing now?
I would say when we talk about advocacy, to me, it's a powerful thing, but it's also a broad thing for me, because I try to tell youth that everyone who wants to help you and everyone who is around and supporting you, that it's necessary, that you can't do it alone. That's one thing about me that I've learned is coming from a, you know what I mean? I'm a person of color, and literally through generations, we were taught that like mental health is not a really important thing, and that asking for help is weakness and all of these things that were instilled in me. One thing I learned throughout from being homeless is that, I couldn't do it alone, and that help and vulnerability, being vulnerable is not weakness, it's actually strength. Mm-hmm. And that telling somebody that you need help, or telling somebody to advocate for you, or even advocating yourself, can be as simple as saying no to particular things. It doesn't have to be like this grand gesture, you know? Mm-hmm. I tell youth all the time to take it a day at a time, you know, small little steps. But I also put so much emphasis in any conversation that I have about this is the emphasis of adult allies and teaching adults and getting in their space, because they love to get in youth spaces and tell them what they can or can't do, or that just pretty much telling them what to do about their experiences and not realizing that these generations are different, you know, the old generation and the present generation. And I try to tell them that it starts from home, one, and two, it starts with your kids. And three, if it's any other youth, the simplest way to show love to them or to show empathy is making space for their voice. Like a lot of adults realize, like a lot of adults, like, cause I'm going to grow up and be an adult, you know, and a lot of adults when they were youth, you know what I mean? That's why I don't put so much like pressure on them, because a lot of the things that we learned, you know what I mean, is from the previous generation,
right,
and whatever they had to do to survive. And one of the things that I want to kill for the present generation dealing with adults that are like that, or like just giving that message, is being a supportive system towards youth is such a big factor of making their future a little bit more hopeful for them, if that makes sense. Like being a homeless youth as myself, like it was a very, very, very lonely journey that I had to go through, unfortunately, due to circumstances at home. But because I had people along the way, adult allies, adults that just didn't say, oh, this was my job, that they actually showed up for me and have conversations with me and made me feel like I'm not just this equation that they have to solve or just this problem that they have to put on their notepad, but they actually had conversations with me, inquire into who I was as a person, make me feel like a human being, because that's a lot of the things that, you know what I mean? Lack of empathy is the biggest thing that kind of like suffers a relationship. It doesn't really build one because it's not hard for you to sit there at least 30 seconds to hear somebody's story and create some foundation of empathy for them. Even if you have not, you know what I mean? If you, even if you have not experienced that, I've ran into adults who have never experienced what I've experienced, but they still support me in a way where they ask me, what do I want? And I think that's a big thing that adults need to start asking youth nowadays. If even if it's their own kids, even if it's a team that they're leading, even if it's students in the class, like if you see somebody that's troubled, in reality, you're going to ask them like, okay, what do you want to do? It's the same thing with youth. I feel like there's always this wall between adults and youth, because adults always have this expectation that they should already know better. You know what I mean? Like for youth, but also themselves, like I know better because I am older. And that's where ageism comes along. And it's like, that is not, you know what I mean? That is not realistic. I've met a lot of adults that I've, you know what I mean? I've created wisdom that they, you know what I mean? They didn't come across. So I feel like ageism is a lot of thing. Tokenizing youth is another big thing. It's where you have a problem and you put youth in a room because you want youth voice, but you also don't create like a safe space or like support them when they need to. You kind of just like, it's a check off on a box.
Right.
Like that's another thing that youth run into a lot when they come into services that they're experiencing homelessness. It's such a breaking feeling to feel like you're just another number in the demographic.
Right.
It's pretty much belittling, you know. It's like I didn't want to be here, but I'm here because of my circumstances. And I feel like as much as we talk about like not having people in power, or if you do have power, showing empathy or don't even know the experience, I feel like they also are important. Like, I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying like we should always just have people who also, you know what I mean, experience these things. But I also feel like people who have not went through it is also a part of the solution. And also very important to have just all walks of life. And I'm kind of ranting and I forgot about the question. Like, totally. Like, I'm just like, I'm so sorry. But I think I covered everything.
You covered everything. You answered all the future. I think we should just wrap up the show right now. You just kind of, you know. No, that was more than that was perfect. And you were able to talk that because you've lived that. And you were able, and no, you answered the question perfectly. You were able to see that firsthand. And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, and you said, we're talking about ageism, which is something that we don't ever talk about, really, like, ever, right? And, you know, gerontology is the study of aging. So when I studied this in school at UAA, we talked a lot about ageism. We talked a lot about, you know, Robert Butler coining that term, understanding what it means, understanding at least the American idea of intergenerational relationships, because we're a very individualistic nation, right? We don't really see too many intergenerational homes, right? At least not traditionally. And so what we think of when we talk about ageism is how we dismiss elders, grandparents, previous generations, but we never talk about the opposite, right? We never talk about how we dismiss children, teenagers, preteens, young adults, and we always tell them what we know they need, even though they didn't ask for it. And how many times have we been wrong about that? Like, how toxic is that of a mindset to believe we always know better? And what that does is exactly what you said, Z. It prevents us from establishing real relationships through empathy, and it belittles them. I don't want to say it gaslights them necessarily into believing there's something that they're not, but it definitely instills within them a lack of self-worth. Like, oh, my voice doesn't mean anything. No one's going to listen to me anyway. You know what I'm saying? And that's extremely dangerous. And we actually had a couple of caller comments. And Julia, I want to address this to you because this one really struck me when I just read it. It says here, people say we can't afford the cost of addressing homelessness, but what is the true cost of doing nothing? And That gave me goosebumps just reading it.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, same. Absolutely. And also I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, why am I on this show? I can just sit here and I can listen to Justin and Z and I'm hearing all the things that I need to hear. So I really appreciate getting to listen to you all. My comment in regards to the listener comment is that I think that the cost to us is loss of life, it's loss of community, it's loss of connection. And, you know, Z's touching in on a lot of these things in a really like thorough way that, you know, I deeply believe that we need to listen to youth, trust youth, and follow youth. And I think that we do that from, as you were talking about, Justin, an intergenerational perspective where we're valuing all of the things that young people are bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. And then we're also bringing, you know, as a squarely middle-aged person myself, we're bringing in the things that we know and we're offering them. We're not insisting on them. We're saying, here's something that I know about. Would you like to have some of that information? Will it be helpful to you? Mm-hmm. And that when we do that, we switch the narrative. Another member of the Anchorage Youth Task Force said during a community-based meeting once, we have to stop thinking about homelessness as a problem of individual people, and we need to start thinking about it as an issue for our entire community to be addressing.
Oh my goodness.
And that's just, you know, it's true, right? Because our houseless friends, they are our neighbors, they are our relatives, they are people in our community that need the support of a community surrounding them all of the time. The cost of homelessness, that's an interesting, you know, we live in end stage capitalism, so we tend to think about things with like dollars and cents instead of the loss of creative voices, the loss of, connection and energy and community, the loss of the ability to care for one another in that space where we've got young people caring for older people and all of the things in between. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we aren't invited into this conversation right now, and every single one of us saying, how can I change my community for the better for all of the people that live in this community, regardless of, you know, Z, you were saying earlier, regardless of whether they have a tent over their heads or the stars over their heads or a roof over their heads, right? Mm-hmm. How can I make this community a place that people want to remain and that they thrive and that they care for one another in that community? I'm going to say one other thing. I think I'm sort of like going down a rabbit trail, but I don't want to talk for too long.
No, you're fine.
There are just incredible things happening all over the state right now. And they're happening because of young people being at the center of those conversations, especially Black, Brown, and Indigenous young people, people of the global majority, LGBTQ plus young people. And that includes things like the Zach Gordon Youth Center in Juneau partnered with Tlingit Haida to create a transitional living program that's really steeped in Indigenous knowledge, and it's focused on young people. The Rec Room in Homer is doing amazing outreach work for young people all throughout the Kenai Peninsula, and especially in Homer. There's youth-centered pride events happening in Soldotna, Bethel, and Talkeetna that create like space where people feel a sense of purpose and belonging in their community. Wasilla and Nome both have community-based social groups where people are just being visible and queer and trans and holding all of their collective identities at the same time so that other people see those folks and they say, there's a place for me here in this community. Fairbanks and Ketchikan both have like robust communities of visible queer and trans people. And I look to folks like Z and all of the young people that she works with at Anchorage Youth Task Force and the young people that are making up youth action boards all throughout the state. And what I see are people who are historically put into the positions that have the most barriers in front of them. And when they see those barriers, they are breaking them down and they're saying, how can we make things different for the people that are coming after me? How can we make things different for my peers right now? Mm. How can we make things different for this community as a whole? And I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that Z had an idea that I heard her say, I don't know, 5 years ago, about young people going into our schools and really sharing from a first person perspective, their experiences around housing instability and, you know, navigating these systems and doing some peer-to-peer work with young people to make sure that we're intervening now. I heard you all say earlier that, you know, youth homelessness and adult homelessness are intertwined, and that's totally true. If we intervene in youth homelessness, we intervene in adult homelessness. Mm. If we create spaces where young people feel like they are part of a thriving community that cares about them and celebrates them, then we change everything. And I'm going to say one more sentence and then I'm going to be quiet because I really want to listen to you all again. And that is that, you know, as a queer and gender expansive person who was born in Alaska and grew up here, I have never in my whole life of, you know, pretty short life, 45 years, I've never in my whole life been in a place where we are immersed in such significant transphobia by way of legislation and, you know, community culture, but at the exact same time, surrounded by people who not just say, we tolerate you, but say, we celebrate you. And that's, I think that's the most important thing. Like, I celebrate Z. Z teaches me something every single time I spend time with her. And I hope in turn that I'm able to share something with her too, because we get to build a community together where we're inspired by one another all of the time.
That's amazing, Julia. Thank you so much for that. And I think an amazing takeaway from that is that we are building community, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. And so I think we need to be extremely intentional about the kind of community that we're contributing to each and every day, even when we are silent and we think we are not contributing to something, we are contributing to something through that silence. And so we have to be extremely intentional, and we there is no way to not be so insignificant that you do not have an influence or an effect on your immediate community and the larger society. And I think the sooner we get that through our heads, then the sooner we'll be on our feet and willing to help our neighbors out a little bit more. And with that, I'd like to take our second break. Everyone who is listening, this is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Justin Williams, with guests Zarina Leali and Julia Terry. We're talking about youth homelessness. Feel free to give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. If you're statewide, that's 1-888-1-888-353-5752, or feel free to shoot us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We will be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back at Hometown Alaska at Alaska Public Media. For everyone just now tuning in, I am your host, Justin Williams, and I'm here with Julia Terry and Zarina Leali, and we are discussing youth homelessness. So this is a live show, and I definitely want to make sure that the audience gets their live input in. So I wanted to ask you, you know, how can we continue to stay informed with the right information to truly make a difference here in the city of Anchorage, in the state of Alaska? And again, do you have any personal experience with youth homelessness? We would love to hear from you. So feel free to give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, statewide at 1-888-353-5752, or feel free to shoot us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Julia and Z, let me just say, this is one of the best conversations I think I have had here on the show. And I am extremely happy that we're talking about this. I haven't experienced youth homelessness, but it's something that's extremely important to me because I went to school with people that aren't here with me anymore. You know, I went to school with people who are my age, my cohorts, that I didn't see make it to high school because they were on the streets. And I thought to myself, was there something that I could do about that? Could have done if I just paid more attention, if I was a better friend. And in some situations, the answer is no. In others, the answer has been absolutely. But like we were just kind of talking about, we're contributing to our society, we're contributing to our community, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we talk or whether we stay silent. And so being surrounded by the right resources, making sure everyone has access to those resources and to the right information, the right statistics, the right empirical data is pretty vile, or vital, not vile, vital, very important, I think, in the building of our current community and our future community. Am I wrong? I know, Z, you and I are parents. Julia, are you a parent?
I am.
You are a parent. Well, then, happy Mother's Day to you both.
I like to celebrate on non-binary Parents Day in April, but thank you. I will take the happy Mother's Day too. Happy Mother's Day, Z.
Thank you. Oh, man.
When is non-binary Mother's Day?
Non-binary Parents Day is April, I think it's April 18th, if I remember correctly. It's the third Sunday of April every year, and I think it was the 18th this year.
I will remember that. I will remember to celebrate that, and I'll remember to review that. That is awesome. That's a day before my birthday, so that'll be pretty easy to remember. Okay, so we're all parents. That puts a brand new perspective on things that I didn't really think about until now. Because my last question, which was going to be addressed to both of you, is kind of like, you know, what can we do at the individual level? Julia, you and I were talking earlier about the things that kind of contribute to youth homelessness, the things that kind of trickle down to the youth in the home, especially to LGBTQ plus, right, youth. But seeing as that all of us are parents, we can look at our kids. My daughter's six. And I recently realized, too, that she's not a young version of me. I'm just an old version of her, which gives me an extremely unique experience on being a parent, a single father at that, especially as a person of color. But I think a lot about who she is because of me and who I am because of her. And in terms of passing down things that we want our children to acquire, right, in a safe space, in a healthy way. You know, my question was, what can we do to prevent youth homelessness on the individual level, in the home level? And I'm thinking to myself now, because we all have kids, what are some of these things? What are some of the conversations that we might need to have with our kids when they're older, when we're starting to trust their independence and their autonomy a lot more, to make sure that they don't go down a particular path that we may not want them to take? Do you guys have any comments and thoughts on that?
I think for me, one of the worst things, and I think when we talk about parenthood, we can talk about two things. A parent can teach, like, there's two ways you can teach a child on what not to do because you're doing it and what to do because you're doing it again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can be the bad example and teach your child, or be the good example. And one thing I've learned through my trauma, and then now that I'm a parent, and it's one of the things that I always carry, is the worst thing you can do to your child is make them not believe their own voice and take that away from them. That is the worst things you could do, because every table and every seat and every setting and every connection, they're not going to believe themselves first. And they're going to believe that they're not significant enough into every conversation. And unfortunately, being raised in, because culture plays a lot, right, in parenting too, is I was taught that I did not have a voice because I was not an adult. And if you're a female, it's worse. Like, you double don't have a voice. Like, you don't have a voice at all. Like, you are not the first person they go to, even if the situation concerns you. And I've seen a lot of, I don't blame them. I see a lot of parents do this, is when they, one, they don't make a safe space for their children to grow and have opinions, right, about the things that they go through in the community, or individually, or just have opinions about conversations, you know what I mean, controversies that happen, because parents, we think we know everything, we actually don't. I'm still learning as much as my child is still learning. And once parents and adults figure that out and realize that we're just all still experiencing life, then you will give that same grace to your child and to every youth that you meet, that, hey, I don't know it all, that I'm experiencing things. My child or whoever youth that I'm mentoring is also experiencing things. We're at the same level.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And we can give each other wisdom and experiences. Just like Julia mentioned, there's always, every time we click up, because I love it, every time we click up, she learns something from me, I learned something from her. And the best relationships is always walking away with something, you know what I mean, something good. And so just like instill that goodness into your children and into the youth that you see. Be a mentor, be active, get intimately active, not just active and show up, but intimately active, where you're having these conversations with youth and you're giving that space for them to talk.
Right.
Like, don't be that parent that asks a kid a question and then you're going to answer for them. Like,
right.
That don't even
right.
make no sense.
Right.
Like, that's what you're doing. That's a prime example of all the adults I've experienced in my life. It's like, why would you ask me a question and then answer it anyway? And mm-hmm. then, like, why was I even part of the conversation?
Right.
I think what we can do individually is really just, I don't know, I emphasize it a lot, just support youth by giving them that space and letting them choose however they want to, like, take their journey. All you can do is stand back, give them options, give them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, give them options of what you know is best for you, but don't ever overtake whatever decision that they want to take.
Yeah.
That will make them grow, like, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and to realizing how significant they are. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people, the reason why they choose, or a lot of our youth choose the alternatives that are not healthy, is because they doubt their own voice and their own significance in other people's lives and in their own.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, did I answer the question?
Yeah, you more than answer the question, girl. And Julia,
but yeah,
I wanted
parenthood
to.
Parenthood is a.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say parenthood is a game for me. I feel like my passion has, like, amped up 100 times more, and I feel like every parent or every adult listening to right now, if you have a child under you, you should also be so amped up to want to make this community better, because this is the community that you will be leaving to your youth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Time is not promised. I could pass away tomorrow, and I want to pass away knowing that I changed something. So when my child comes into difficult situations, that one, he has a support system that is ready for him, that loves him. And two, he knows where to go, and those resources will be able to listen to him
mm-hmm.
and provide what's best for him.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to leave.
Absolutely.
And I feel like a lot of parents should model that. Like, have that fire in you to always be active in the community, because you gotta be able to show the community how to raise your child in a way where you know what I mean? Your legacy, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Again, time is not promised. I want people to love my child as close as I want to when I leave. And that could also be resources and all these other conversations that, you know, that I could be leaving him with.
All right. Looks like we're out of time. But thank you so much, Julia and Zarina, for joining us. I am your host, Justin Williams. This has been Hometown Alaska. Our audio engineer today is Tobin Shelby. We'll see you next time. Have a great day.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.